Are undefined roles in leadership burning you out? Does your board desire clarity around their roles and responsibilities? Are important tasks getting missed? In this episode, we will be discussing how to work together as a board with unique giftings to create a leadership team that is united and also complementary.
Welcome to Lead Your Homeschool Co-op. Do you desire a Christian community with families that fit? Do you find yourself up late at night Googling conflict resolution and how to build a community? Do you dream of a sustainable homeschool group only to feel discouraged when policies fail, logistics get in the way, or a conflict comes up again?
Hello! We are the Homeschool Community Builders. Together, we have more than 30 years of experience in leading successful homeschool groups. But at one time, we too were in co-ops that did not work for our families. We needed deep relationships and a community that would help our families grow in faith. In order to be a part of a sustainable Christian community, we stepped out in faith and trusted God's plan to build the community that we desired.
In this podcast, we will help you create Christ-centered policies, establish a close-knit culture, and develop strong leadership skills so that you can serve your community well. So grab a pen and paper, be ready to take some notes, and be encouraged. You can do this. We are going to be scheduling a live Q&A on Facebook on the last Friday of the month so that we can answer your questions. We know that it is sometimes hard to translate principles into action for your own group. So if you would like the opportunity to ask a quick question and get individual answers, make it easy on yourself and join us live. Another leader likely has the same question, so you'll be helping others as well. Join our Facebook group and let us know. Post your burning questions.
Thanks for joining us today. We're so excited to be diving into defining roles in leadership. Our co-op, when we first started, struggled for a long time to try to define roles, and we just didn't do it. We would talk about it and say we should do it. It would be a good thing if we did that, but we just couldn't get it nailed down. Then we realized we were asking the wrong question. The question isn't, how do we define the roles? The question is, how do we set up our leadership and get all the tasks done? God draws us all into leadership for different reasons, with different skill sets. Sometimes leaders will be stepping up from within your community, and God could be calling them into areas where they might not know that they are skilled yet. So we decided to not define roles as much as to assign tasks. So leaders will naturally fall into certain positions based on personality and temperament. But if you start with a culture where your community is willing to step in wherever it's needed, then you'll be destined to have a strong leadership team. Molly and Hannah, do you relate to that at all? How was that for your community?
I think when we started, we tried to find leaders that we knew had different skill sets so that we wouldn't all be alike on the board. We didn't want all administrators, and we didn't want all people who just were relational, and we didn't need a bunch of visionaries. So we tried to know who we were before we formed the board. Now, like you, we had a very hard time defining, if I'm the president of the board, what does that mean? What does that mean that I do, right? Or if I'm the secretary, maybe that's a little bit easier to find. They actually take the notes during the meetings. But is that all that they do? No, they have other gifts, right? So we did, yes, go through the same thing where it was hard to define what each person was going to do based on their title. And we also said, okay, well, that doesn't make any sense because we all do a little bit of everything. And so how do we work that out? Do we need to write down a list of all the roles or the responsibilities that each board member has? And we decided, no, I think we came to the same conclusion. It is key to know yourself, right? And to know what your board is bringing to the table. But like you said, it's that attitude of being willing to do whatever it takes that helps it to run smoothly. And I think it's important to recognize that just like the body of Christ, we are many parts and one body, And every part of the body needs the other parts. You can't just have one type of person on the board. Balancing each other out is super important. Those who, like me, might be quick to make a decision need to be very careful to listen to other people who have more, there maybe are more in tune with the feelings or the emotional component of that decision process.
I would
That's
agree
just
that it's important to have a balance of those that are relational, those that cover logistics, just as we're wired differently. And that's a good thing. You want variety on your board because that will help consider different perspectives as you're making important decisions.
The other thing that I like about what you said, Molly, is knowing yourself. Because I know myself, I know I'm a visionary, I know I have a lot of big ideas, but that we shouldn't necessarily be doing all of those ideas, or we shouldn't necessarily be going down all of these different paths, because every single idea that I have is not the best idea for our community. And so I really appreciate that there are other people on the board who are discerners, or I like to call them dream crushers. I really appreciate them being on the boards because then I know that God is using other people to keep us in line to do what is best and really what is in God's vision for our community.
Right. And I think it's easy for board members to work within their strengths. So, for example, if somebody has very strong administrative skills, they will be naturally inclined to do administrative tasks, right? But we should remember that being on the board, we can help each other to work on our weaknesses. So, where I know that I'm weak, hopefully, as a board member, I'm willing to learn from somebody else who that's their strength. So, if we have somebody who is strong administratively and they put up a red flag because of a decision that somebody else wants to make and they haven't figured out all the costs or the details or the whatever, like that might be a dream crusher, I guess. You have a big vision and a dream crusher comes along and says, well, we don't have the money and we don't have the plan and whatever. You have to learn to listen to each other and not be offended because somebody's got a different idea or opinion or skill set.
It's important to remember that everyone is working and taking into consideration what your mission and your vision and your community is, right? So if they have a different opinion, it's not personal. There's just different ways of seeing things. And so working together and being able to have that iron sharpens iron type feel is really important. Because then you'll be able to go to your community with these decisions, having already considered lots of other possibilities or things, considerations, not just one person making all the calls, and it is what it is.
Well, and if you approach your board and you don't know what everybody's spiritual giftings are, or you don't know what their personalities are, and you've come together and you're forming this board, how do you go about figuring that out? I know we have some ideas about that. What are some of the things that you can do to kind of figure out what people's strengths and weaknesses are?
Well, there's personality assessments, temperament assessments. Gosh, there's all these personality things. Some are more helpful than others. I really like the spiritual giftings quiz that we did. That was really helpful and insightful for me personally, and then to learn what that is for the other people that we're working with on our board. Just knowing what are your strengths, what are your weaknesses. It's important to know those, to be able to identify those, to know how best to work together and to take those things into consideration. Listening to one another, getting that feedback, different personality types. Molly, I just know you're going to be direct, right? And I appreciate that. And then someone else, we might have to give them space and kind of pull it out a little bit more. To communicate because they're not going to necessarily jump on the opportunity or be very forward with what they want to share, but we still need to provide a safe place for them to share. So knowing different personality types is very important so that no one feels that they have less of a contribution to your board just because they have a quieter disposition or aren't a very strong personality.
Right.
Yeah. And if you have a strong personality and you know that somebody doesn't have a strong personality, it's super helpful because then you don't just think, oh, they don't have an opinion on it, because they actually do have an opinion on it and they should have an opinion and they should be heard on it, because you want that well-roundedness in within your board.
After you kind of know who the people are on your board, what their strengths and weaknesses are, you've gotten to know each other's personalities, and you're willing to see those differences as benefits, that they're not problems. The differences there are there for your benefit. Then you can go kind of to the next step, right? Which is
know
your job.
So the board's job is to be the guardrails of the community, to keep the community on track with your mission, your values, logistics, relationship building, what's important to your community. It's not to do every task that needs to be done. Your community is bigger than the board. Invite people into the maintenance and growth of your community. Have some committees. Get ideas from other people in your group. These might also be the people that are future board members. So have that opportunity for people to participate in these kinds of things. Allow them to grow into leadership, because there will always be seasons where this works for me in this season to be a board member, but maybe it doesn't next year. And so you're always training your people to step into leadership, because the opportunities will always be there. So delegation is super important, and it also helps cultivate the gifts within your community.
Commitment and community go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you can give your community the opportunity to invest, the more committed they will be. You'll have a better community.
Right. And because the fact is, it's not the job of the board to do everything. And that is a recipe for burnout if you try to do that. If you try to hold on to the control of every single decision that has to be made, you will burn yourselves out as a board.
And I would even say that it's not just burnout for the board, but it also lends to the community not investing as much. Because what's the point? They're not going to be heard. The board is just going to do what they want to do. So there really does need to be a spirit of cooperation. Yes, the board has the final say, but is the board open to hearing other perspectives and other considerations? That's really important.
Yeah, we've talked about this in the past. If you don't give over some responsibility to your community, they will just be consumers and they won't step up when leadership needs to be passed on. They'll just be used to consuming what you've provided for them.
So that takes learning to delegate and learning to recognize gifts in your community so that you can help people utilize those gifts. So if you have somebody that's great at serving people and they love to, maybe they have the gift of encouragement, knowing how to really reach somebody's heart, right? Allow them to be the one that does teacher appreciation or to celebrate birthdays or to do the things that are really going to reach the people, reach the hearts of the people in your community. It's such a benefit to everybody to pull in more people, because we want this to be repeatable and sustainable. We want our communities to keep thriving, even if we have to step down for a year or two. And the only way to do that is to cultivate that as you are going along.
Yeah, I agree. And so some ways that you can cultivate that are have regular meetings, encourage your committees to meet on the regular, have your board meetings need to be at monthly. You really, every community, I can't imagine not having a meeting at least every month. And we touch base even without those months. I mean, we have our monthly meeting, and then we also will touch base on things throughout the month. But You have to have regular board meetings so that you
Mm-hmm.
know what to delegate, who's doing what. If you're not having them scheduled, then they will not be a priority. And it needs to be a priority for your leadership to make that happen. And then stay focused on the mission. And then when you have committees or you have people that are taking on some of those tasks, don't micromanage. Let it be what it is. Maybe you'll have feedback after or some ideas and maybe have those conversations or maybe don't. Maybe just make a mental note. But no one wants to take over something and then feel like they have someone looking over their shoulder as they're doing that thing. That's never a good feeling.
Yeah, leaders aren't necessarily born. They're developed over time. And I am so grateful that the people that I led when I first started leading, I was a terrible leader. But people just, I don't know why they kept coming along with me. It's really, I was learning and we were all learning together. And that's how I felt. Like I was just the one that was exposed. But I am so grateful that people didn't micromanage me because then I would have totally bailed on it. I wouldn't
Yeah,
have
you would have been
time.
self-conscious
Yeah.
and limit, what you were willing to do
I
for
would not
sure.
have had the confidence. So let them do it their way. Let them flounder around. If you can suggest things or whatever, but you definitely don't be all up in their business or you won't have anybody to delegate stuff to anymore.
That's right.
That's right. Yep.
Which leads us to our third topic, which is distributing tasks and responsibilities. Once you know what you have to do, because sometimes when you're starting, you might not necessarily know what tasks need to be done, but as you walk through them, then the thing that you need to do is to systemize. So what you do is you create a list of all of those jobs that need to be done. They're going to be need to be done next year. Or maybe next week or never, maybe next month. But you just compile a master list, get it all down on paper, train. Always try to make something duplicatable. Sometimes it's as simple as like sometimes I'll do a QuickTime and I'll say, this is how I put this link in here. And then you can post that somewhere and then everybody knows and it's there for somebody else to learn. You don't have to keep saying the same thing over and over again. So training, giving that big picture. Having those monthly tasks assigned to board members, you can do this. There's all sorts of different kinds of planning platforms that you can use, and everybody's into systemizing nowadays. So you can use Google Drive, you can use Google Chats, you can just create a simple spreadsheet. There's lots of different ways to do it. Just do whatever best suits you and your leadership. But this helps each board member to work within their giftings and also pick up the slack when somebody is in a quote unquote season. You know, we're all going to go through stuff. And if as long as the task is there and it's laid out and easy to read, most people, it's not rocket science here that we're doing. It's just really simply getting through one task after another. And so having that assigned to people will help you keep that ongoing list going, and you're not sitting there freaking out and stressing out, wondering, what am I forgetting? What do we have to do? It's all there. Everybody knows, and you can focus on leading instead of putting out fires.
So when you create your master task list, it's helpful to start from your calendar, your board planning calendar, plan out what your year is going to look like, and then start listing out the tasks that it takes to achieve those things that you have on your calendar. And like you said, Pam, some of those items may be monthly items, some of them may be weekly, and some of them may be yearly. And so I think it's helpful to plan your tasks out that way, divide them up in that way. And then when you're at a board meeting and you say, okay, we've got this event coming up and there's these three things that need to be done, we put them in another list and then assign them to the people that are going to do it. And that list is in our notes so that we can go and refer back to it so that we know, oh, yeah, this is my job this month to get done. So we don't assign tasks through a like Google task program or I don't even know all the platforms that are out there, but it's just a basic list with a name next to it that everybody can check.
It's at the bottom of our board meeting notes so that it's all in one place for the month. And that's been really helpful for me. It's all in one place. I print it out and then I check off my things as I do them.
And if you like to check boxes, it's very satisfying besides.
Yes.
Okay, who doesn't like to check boxes?
Right.
You better post in the Facebook group if you don't like to check boxes, because I don't know any leader or homeschool mom that doesn't love to check boxes. It's so fun.
Right. It is so satisfying.
But we just talked about three easy ways to make sure that everything gets done, all of the tasks. You don't have to label it as a role. The first one, know yourself. Know your job or jobs, know what the tasks are, know what you can delegate, hand off to other people, and then create a system, create your calendar, create your plan, and then put it into practice. Three simple points. You don't have to stress out. You can get all the things done and know what to do.
I think it's great to have permission to step outside of the perceived roles, right? The president does this, the secretary does this, the chair does this, and just know that you are truly working together as a team to divide up these tasks. It's truly a spirit of cooperation, which works really well in a community.
Yes. I know that there's some responsibilities that if you're in a certain role on the board that you may have, for example, treasurer, you know, has specific responsibilities, or a secretary has specific responsibilities. But that could be different if you're a 501c3 or if you're simply a co-op that doesn't have that structure. So there are some nuances there that we didn't go into today that maybe we'll talk about another time. But the main thing is know that you're going to get everything done because you have a system, and because you're all committed to making sure it happens. We're going to wrap up, but before we do that, we want to just invite you again to join our Facebook group and jump on our live Q&A, which is going to be the last Friday of the month, and ask your questions so that we can help you individually and get down into the nitty-gritty more for your personal situation. Before we go, we want to close with the Bible verse, Romans 12, 4 and 5. And it says, "For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Remember, you need one another. Celebrate your differences. Enjoy what God has provided on your leadership team. And build one another up, because that's your body. You are your example to your community. So as your leadership team, just keep those things in mind and you will have a lot of success in leading."
And fun. Don't forget to have fun. Am I the only one around here that wants to have fun? See you next time. Hey friend, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with someone who may benefit from it? Or leave us a 5-star written review in Apple Podcasts. It blesses our socks off to know how this podcast is helping you. Also, make sure to connect with us on the Lead Your Homeschool Co-op Facebook page and join the conversation. We'll see you back here next time.